The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
You're relevant. And you've got a place and you've got a work that needs to be done. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. Before I begin, I'd like to say happy birthday to Pastor Morris. I don't know if he's watching on the internet or not, but if he is, we wish him a very happy birthday and many, many more years of life, of service, and just being a part of what God's doing in Slidell and the regions beyond. Amen? I'd also like to welcome my friends Carol and David Lewis from a church where we go, the Community Christian Church, who joined me this morning, and appreciate them being here, as well as, Denise sends her greetings this morning. She's taking care of our life and the things that we do at Community Christian, and she sends her greeting and her love to you, and sorry she can't be with us this morning, but that's how it is in ministry. Many things going on at the same time. This gospel of Jesus Christ is the only effective and long-lasting force for change in the world. If you don't like what you see around you, the answer is simple. It's Jesus. Denise and I have worked with the UN High Commission for Refugees. We work with the World Health Organization overseas. We work with the World Bank and many other international organizations that form themselves to help people. Their efforts to relieve hunger and disease, to bring a better life, to bring water where there's no water, to bring places for people to live, is a good work. They do good things, but their good things are short-term. I would submit to you today that the only people who can make the changes that need to be made in the United States and around the world are Christians. Of the missionary force today, there's over 306,000 missionaries living in other countries. And they only have one purpose in being there, and that's to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. They feed the poor. They do the same thing that many of the humanitarian organizations do. We did many of those things in our times overseas. But we also speak to the spiritual man. We speak to the lives that need help. We are the agents of change. This gospel of Jesus Christ transcends culture. It transcends times. It transcends everything. It was relevant 2,000 years ago. It was relevant yesterday. It is relevant today, and it will be relevant tomorrow. I want to talk to you this morning because each one of us are sons and daughters of the living God. Each one of us has a place, and I want to point out something today that I hope will open your eyes to where you are in the kingdom of God. At the beginning, we're going to address a question that has no answer. And the question is, when did Jesus Christ understand that he was God? There's no answer to that. We're not going to come up with some scripture to say, well, Jesus did it on the 30th year of his life. He understood. But I want to use that theory, that theme, for us to look at who we are in Christ. He's our model. Everything that we are and say and do, he's been there. Every pain and issue that you've had in your life, he's experienced within his life. And we are to follow him. We are to look at him. And I want to just look at this morning with the idea in mind for the first part. When did Jesus know that he was God? There are many places in Scripture between Genesis and through Isaiah and the book of Psalms where they talk about the coming Messiah, where they talk about Jesus coming in the future. Isaiah 53 says, each of us has turned to our own ways, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In verse 12 in the same chapter, he said, he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and many intercessions for the transgressors. There's always been word in the scripture, beginning in Genesis, where we would see, and through Isaiah, that there was a Messiah. There was a Savior coming. We knew something was about to happen through these years. And then hundreds of years later, the angel Gabriel, as this whole thing starts to unfold, the prophecy, time of prophecy about his coming is passing as it begins to unfold. Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, appears to Zechariah, revealing the coming of Zechariah's long-awaited son. They had no other children. In Luke 1:17, he says, he will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, speaking of John the Baptist. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. It's no longer some distant object which is happening out there, but it's imminent. Something's happened. And of course, you know the story of Zechariah, and he can't speak, but yet he has this child. Then there was the announcements to Mary by the angel as well. In Luke 1:31, it says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. It's beginning to unfold. It's becoming a reality. People are hearing something different than they've heard before. And then there's the angels talking to the shepherds in the field, and they said, hey, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. 8 days later, they take Jesus to the temple, and in the temple they encounter Simeon, and they take Jesus to be circumcised. They're following their religious practices of the day. Jesus is born, the angel that spoke to Mary that she's going to bear the Savior, the Messiah, and yet they follow the normal traditions of their life. And 8 days later, they show up, and Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation. Hallelujah. Which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. While he was there, the Simeon recognizes who this child is by his very presence, and Anna the prophetess is walking by, and she says she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. And she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. A lot of scripture, but it points out to us that something was happening. These people knew something. The Word of God, the Old Testament pointed to the coming of the Messiah. The angel gave a word to Zechariah. The angel spoke to Mary. Simeon in the temple. Anna the prophetess. They all understood what was going on around them because God was speaking to them by the power of His Holy Spirit. Yet, Jesus was just a baby. He was just a baby. Even though he had the nature of God and would fully be God in his nature one day, today he was just a baby. And he was aware of the things that babies are aware of. Sometime during his life, we don't know when, he became aware of his nature as God. But we don't know when that happened. Perhaps he wondered as a teenager, why he was drawn to the things of God. Perhaps he wondered why God had given him such special insights into Scripture. Perhaps he wondered why he had such favor with man, why he had such wisdom. Perhaps he wondered those things. The story continues. When Jesus was 12 years old, we're in Luke 2:45. When Jesus was 12 years old, they couldn't find him. They went back to the Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you." But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you understand that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Listen, then he returned to Nazareth with them, was obedient to them. Young boy, he was obedient to his parents, and his mother stored up these things in her heart. She remembered what the angel said. She's listening to her child, and now she stored the things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all the people. It's amazing to me because we begin to see something happening here. Jesus was drawn to the temple. He was drawn to ask questions of the men, and the rabbis who were teaching in the temple. What does this mean? What does that mean? This does not reflect to me the Jesus that we meet later on after he experiences his 40 days in the desert. This is the Jesus who's asking questions. He's obedient to his parents. When mom and daddy said, "Son, you need to come home with us." He was raised with brothers and sisters at this time. Can you imagine John the Baptist and Jesus climbing trees together? Can you imagine Jesus with his brothers and sisters? And yet this whole time, Scripture says he was growing in wisdom and favor with God and with man. Was it something of a progressive understanding? Was he understanding one thing today and another thing tomorrow? Where was he going? What was he thinking? He came from a good family. Then we meet John the Baptist. John the Baptist was asked the question, "What are you doing?" And he said, John answered the question by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am." Did Jesus know it was him? Did Jesus know at this time that he was going to be the one? I don't know. He said, "But someone is coming that's greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and to untie the straps of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." God spoke to John the Baptist's heart and told him, "This is coming. This is happening." It was a progressive revelation. I don't know when Jesus and John the Baptist were climbing trees together as boys that he was saying, "One day you're going to be this." And what I think they were just boys. They were just growing up, and it was something of a progressive thing. And even we remember later that John the Baptist sends word back to Jesus and said, "Are you the one?" It's a progressive understanding of who God is and who and what he's called us to do. It says then that, Luke 3:21-23, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened. Was it now? Was it now that he understood that he was the Son of God? And a Holy Spirit in bodily form descended upon him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved Son, and you bring me great joy." Did Jesus at this point have the revelation? I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that all these years is finally coming to a reality. I don't know. The Scripture doesn't say. It just said what God did. Immediately, Jesus leaves and he goes into the desert for 40 days. Was it during these 40 days of prayer and fasting that God the Father revealed to him all that he would be? I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. When he came out the desert, Satan knew it because he came out and he says, "You're God, jump from here. You're hungry, turn the rocks into bread." Satan knew it. Did Jesus know it? I don't know. It doesn't say. Then we find Jesus in the temple. And this is when we know that Jesus knew. Because we find in Luke 4, one of my favorite places. I have many favorite places. But one of my favorite places is in Luke 4, beginning in verse 14. It says, Jesus returned from Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Oh boy. Oh boy. Something's starting to happen. Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit's power, the scripture says. Reports about him are spreading quickly through the whole region. What reports? I don't know. It doesn't say. But see, people are seeing something different. Jesus is seeing something different. It says he taught regularly in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the visit of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual. Listen, Jesus had been going to all the feasts. He'd been observing Passover. He's been doing things with his family all of these years. He goes to the synagogue. He listens to the rabbis. He makes input to these things. It was his usual practice to be in church, to be listening, to be learning, to be participating in some way. He said he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And I love it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me today. For he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. Ro, that was one of the songs we sang this morning. I just know God is in this message today because we've already previewed this through the praise and worship. Awesome praise and worship, brother. The Lord really visited us this morning, and he's still here now. Pay attention to what he is saying to us. He said, "Set me free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scriptures, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue were upon him, it says. They looked at him intently. And then he began to speak, and he said, "The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this day." He knows. He knows who he is. He knows he's the Messiah. He knows the responsibility that is on him now. It's come to all the way from the angel speaking to Zechariah and the angel speaking to Mary, and something's going to happen out in the future. And yeah, we don't know what. And Jesus is climbing trees and playing hide and seek with John the Baptist. And life goes on and he gets baptized and the heaven opens up. And Jesus says in Luke 4, "Today it's fulfilled." Today, the reality of all that God had for him in his life was made known to Jesus. He was doing all the good stuff. He was doing everything he needed to be doing. In a contemporary setting, we could say that he went to church on Sunday. He paid his tithes and offerings. He worked in the Sunday school. He worked with the youth. Now, that's a real calling. He worked with the youth of his life. He did all the things that he was asked to do. Up until this time, he was a good church, upstanding church member. You know Bob? Yeah, he's in church every time the doors are open. That's good. That's good. But let me tell you where this is going in the message for us today, that even though he was doing all of those things, he was not fulfilled until he found himself in the scriptures. Until he read the scriptures and began to say, "This is who I am. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know all that I had for when he was a boy, when he was a baby, when he was putting stuff in his mouth, crawling around the floor like a normal baby." He didn't know who he was. But he grew. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and his man. At this point, we see Jesus step up his game. At some point, we don't know when, he found himself in the Scriptures. He saw himself as a king and not a carpenter. He understood that he was more than a tender of religious ritual, but the Son of God and the Savior. His focus was no longer on working wood to satisfy the material needs of man, but the empty hearts of the poor, the blind open eyes that needed to be opened, the stony hearts of the captives, and the oppressed to set those free from bondage. He now realized who he was. Jesus goes from being a Jewish boy to being our king over all mankind. He goes from being a believer to be an extension of God the Father here on earth. I can imagine as a baby, he didn't know that. But as a man now, after his time of prayer and fasting, after his encounter with Satan, he comes in his temple and he says, "Today, I am becoming all that the Father would have me to be." He worked after that. I don't know when it exactly happened, but we know that it did. And we know how it happened. The question to ponder today is, you're in church. You're the good folk. You pay your tithes. You help out where you need it. You do what needs to be done. You run the soundboard. You make discs. You feed the poor. You love your pastor. You love each other. You're here to support and love each other. That's good. That's good. I'm glad you are. But the question is today, have you found all that God would have you to be in the Scriptures? Have you read the Scriptures and found yourself in those Scriptures? Do you know what the call is on your life? Are you content just to be here on a Sunday morning? Are you content just to feed the poor? Is that all that God has for you? Those are good things. Don't stop any of it. Okay? Step up your game. But have you realized the full potential of God, what God would have you to be? For 40 years, I wandered around this life not caring much about the things of God. And then one day, I heard a Scripture. And I saw myself in the Scripture. It was Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come to me if you're tired and labor, and I'll give you rest." I was tired. I was tired of the pressures of the sin in my life. I was tired of these things. And I saw myself in that Scripture. When I read it, it said, "Are you tired?" I said, "Yeah, I'm tired." And Jesus says, "Take my yoke. My burden's light." He said, "I'm a good teacher. I'll help you." I saw myself. I came alive on June 2nd, 1981 when I heard that Scripture and I saw myself in it. And I said, "All I know now is that I'm tired. I don't like the person I've become and I want to be somebody else." I'm sure, I am absolutely sure that each one of you who is here today has seen yourself there in that Scripture. Maybe it was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Maybe it was another place. I don't know. But I'm sure you had to see yourself in the Scripture. But it goes on from there. About 10 years after we were saved, there was another Scripture that just changed our lives. Phenomenal. John 15:16. We're wrestling about whether we really have a call to missions or not. John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I called you. I anointed you. I appointed you that you may go and bear fruit, much fruit that will last." And friends, that scripture changed our life. Because I saw myself in that Scripture. I saw that self just like when the heavens opened over Jesus and he said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." John 15:16 says, "Bob, I called you. You didn't choose me. This is not some game that you're trying to play. I called you. I chose you. I anointed you. I appointed you. And I ordained you."
I was clergy at the. I was not clergy at the time. I have credentials. I got papers hanging on the wall that says I'm an official preacher. But when God gave us that scripture, we didn't have nothing. I hadn't been to Bible school. I hadn't pastored a church. I hadn't done anything other than just try to love some people and try to learn a little bit under Pastor Morris's mentorship. And all of a sudden, God says, I chose you. I called you. I anointed you. I ordained you that you may go and bear fruit, much fruit that would last. Has God spoken to you yet? Have you found yourself in the scripture for saying, that's me. That's me. That's where I need to be going. That's what I need to be doing. It's there. If you're looking for a life scripture, one of the scriptures I got pretty far there. One of the scriptures that it really encourages me is in Philippians 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one in the mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. That's an important scripture to me. And I don't take that so much as a reflection of who I am. I take that as a God's call of who I need to be. It's a work. It's a work. It's something that God's doing in my life so that I can be what He wants me to be. And I want to encourage you this morning to find yourself in the Scriptures. I want to encourage you to see what God has for your life. Are you salt and light? Matthew chapter 6 talks about us being salt and light. Are you being salt and light to the world? The places that you go, are you providing a savor and a flavor? Are you providing a challenge? Are you providing light into dark situations? Matthew chapter 6 says we need to be doing that. In the Beatitudes, maybe you found yourself in the Beatitudes, huh? That you're merciful, pure of heart, or a peacemaker. Those were things that Jesus talked about there. Maybe that's not where I'm called to be, but maybe that's where you're called to be. Maybe that's who you're to how you're to reflect the love of the Father is through the Beatitudes. But there's more. Have you been called to missions? You know, there's called to missions. There's a foreign missions, but you know what? We're all been called to missions. Some people say, well, you go and I'll pay. No. It's worked out pretty good for me for 20 years, but we're all been called to missions, whether it's foreign missions or whether it's in the streets of New Orleans or whether it's your neighbor next door. Every one of us has been. Do you see yourself there? Do you see yourself as being called by God to reach out and to love people? Yes, you need to, because it's more than being in church on Sunday. Good thing. Don't stop coming. It's more than paying your tithes. Good thing. Don't stop paying. But it's more than that. It's giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, finding yourself in His Word. Are you one of the 72? You remember He sent out the 72 in pairs of two? And He says, go out and prepare the way of the Lord. Tell people I'm coming. And He said, and if when you go to their house, if they welcome you in, you bless the house. And if they don't welcome you, kick the dust off your shoes and keep on trucking. Go find somebody that I've been talking to. Go find somebody I've been preparing their heart. They're waiting for you. And you know what happened when they came back? You know, I often wonder, what was the message? You know, you and I would go tell people to get saved because Jesus died for your sins and rose if you confess with you. You know, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Scripture says that. The 72 didn't know that, did they? Jesus was the one who sent them out. What did they do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, and love your neighbors yourself. They went out into the world not wrestling people to the ground with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they went out loving people. They went out sharing their heart, giving what they had, and they came back. And what was the response to all of that? They were so, Jesus, you're not going to believe what happened. We went over there, and these people, that things happened. We saw demons flee. We saw Satan flee. We saw people get healed. He said, what were you doing? He said, well, what you told me. I went out and loved them. And you went and loved people, and you were a part of their lives, and God did all these things? Yeah, that's what happened. He said, consider yourself fortunate. He said, the kings of this world and the leaders of this world have wanted to see these things, and they didn't get to see them. The kings and the leaders want to know what you know. But because you were sent out by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because you were loving other people, because you were displaying your love for God the Father, stuff was happening. Stuff was happening all around them, and they came back so excited. Wouldn't you want to live a life that when it was done, you can be able to say, I could believe the adventure I've had. Man, I tell you what, God has opened doors, He's provided, He's healed the sick, I've laid hands on people and they got better. Man, God's used me to do those. Have you found yourself in the Scripture? You need to be there. At least be the 72. Oh, are you a Martha or you're a Mary?
Yeah.
I'm married to a Martha. I'm married to a Martha. That's hard to say. Okay, and she loves being a Martha, but she doesn't dislike the Mary. They work together. Are you a Martha or you're Mary? Where's your part? Where's the part that God called you to do? Are you doing it? Have you come out of your shell and be able to say, it's me and God. I'm not flying in a flock. I'm here to encourage each other on a Sunday morning. We come here to look in my eyes and tell them I'm still okay. Am I okay?
You okay?
I'm okay. He said I was okay. We come here to encourage each other and to help each other. But that's not our work. Our work is out there being the unique person God's called us to be. I dare say there's not two of us exactly the same. Some of you just got a mouth that wouldn't quit. Some of you just talk and talk and talk. But you know what? We need talkers. Some of you don't have anything to say. But you got two ears and you use them really well. You know, we all have our place. You don't want to be like me. Listen, that's got its own burdens. And I hate to tell you, I don't want to be like you. But I do want all of us to be what God wants us to be. He has created such a special and wonderful human being, and He's called them you. Jesus didn't know for a long time where it was going. But he began to understand step by step until God finally opened the doors and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I don't know what Jesus' response was to that. Me? I don't know. But what he did was he sought the Lord. He went for 40 days to himself. To be able to spend time with God, to be able to say, this is, what do you have for me, Father? I'm not running. I'm here. I'm right in front of you. What would he have you to be? Are you an apostle? Are you a Peter? Are you a James? Are you a John? Are you St. Paul? Are you Stephen? They all had different places. They all had good places. And you have a good place in the kingdom of God as well. We're in some tough times right now. I don't know if I wouldn't call it World War III. I've heard somebody say that the other day. Except it's not a war for territory. It's not a war where we want to own Canada or Mexico wants to own us. That's not the war. The war truly is for the hearts and souls of men. Okay? There is a spiritual war which far exceeds the physical war. It far exceeds the war on terrorism. And each one of us is a soldier in that army. What role you play, I don't know. Whether you're a corpsman or a signal person, whether you're infantry,
whether you're driving a tank. I don't know what your, where your place is in the kingdom of God. But we're in a war today. And that war is not being fought on the front somewhere else. It's being fought wherever you are. For us to be the soldiers who carry the gospel of Jesus Christ by I love the Lord my God with all my heart and mind and soul, and I love my neighbors myself. That was the message of the 72. If you take that message combined with Jesus Christ as the answer to it all, if you take that message out, then you're a soldier fighting the battle. We cannot be sitting on the sidelines. We cannot be saying, that's a terrible thing that's happening over there. It's happening here. Complacency of Christians will devour this world. Sitting back, like you know, the scripture says, be as doves. Be, what's the word? Tell me, Becky.
Harmless
as doves. Be, thank you. I'm glad you. I can't either. It says to be harmless as doves, okay? But it also says, be wise as serpents. Okay? We said, well, we're just peace-loving people. Listen, there's a war going on. People will die and go to hell if we don't do the thing that God called us to do. I'm telling you from the word that we said this morning that there is something beyond the practice of religion. There's something beyond going to services and doing the peripheral things of what we're doing. There's a war going on in this world right now that we're losing if we don't get out in the places that God calls us to be. To be witnesses, to be carriers of the gospel. Who knows what will happen because of your ministry. Jesus stood up at that synagogue and he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What was there? 20 people? 50 people? I don't know. 100. Give him 100. And today Christianity is the largest faith in the world. It exceeds Muslim. It exceeds Buddhist. It exceeds Hindu. We are the largest. And it was right there in that room where he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I am Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one. He stepped up to the plate. Was it fun? Well, ask him when he was at Gethsemane, it was fun. Because at Gethsemane he says, Father, is there any other way we can do this? Do you have a plan B you'd like to talk about? This sounds like a good time to talk about plan B. And the Father said, yep, this is it. And what was his response? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Every one of us has been called. Not one exception. Find yourself in the Word of God. Find your place and go out and do it. We are not called to be consumers of Christianity. We're not called to be spectators. You know, I've been in churches where the praise and worship, it kind of like a spectator sport. You know, people jump up and down and get excited and say, yes, yes, yes. And they get in the car and go home. You know, this is not a spectator sport where we cheer on the pastor and cheer on the praise and worship team. It's not a spectator sport. But yet, sometimes we treat it like that, don't we? Sometimes we treat it like it's somebody else's problem. It's not. It's your problem. You can't pass it off. Each one of us has our own specific place. It's like my musician friends here. You know, they may be multi-talented and play more than one instrument, but they don't play them all. They may play their... How many do you play? It's only three. Let me find somebody else. How many do you play? All right. Yeah. It's like playing musical instruments. You can play some, but you can't play them all. And you're going to be a fool if you try to do something that's not yours. But you'll be a winner if you do what
is yours to do. Amen? So my encouragement for you today is quite simple. Step up to the plate. This is the time. If you're looking for, Jesus said, this is the time. Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What is your scripture that's being fulfilled as we join ourselves together? You got one? Then you can, if you don't, you can do exactly what Jesus did. Spend 40 days with the Father. Get in the Word. Read. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your friends and find out what your place is. You can't not have a place. It's not what this is all about. The end is near. The end is near. The things that we say and do will make eternal difference. Will make eternal difference. We cannot say. The rest of you can go. You can say it with your mouth, or you can say it with your actions. What will you say today? What will you say? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to help us to find our place in your word, to help us to find our place in your kingdom. Father, I pray for your grace and your mercy to be poured out in abundance today upon those within hearing of these words. Lord, that we might find ourselves serving in your kingdom in these critical times in this world, that we may be the good soldiers who pass the word, who love you, Lord, with all of our heart and mind and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to share this precious message of salvation that Jesus Christ brings to us. Lord, let us not be remiss in the things that you've called us to do. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to do what we need to do. But Lord, we understand there's risk involved. We understand there's sacrifice involved. And Lord, we know that by your grace and by your mercy, the risk will be negligible, the rewards will be great. The sacrifice will be our crown and glory. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for Pastor Morris and Sister Pat. We ask you just to bless them on this special day and to help each one of us, Lord, to find our place so that the kingdom of God may go forth and that this battle that's being waged today might be won. But we ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our mentor, our all in all. Amen. May the Lord bless you and take care for you in every single way.